Today on The Journey.
What you teach your children, they can learn from no one else. What you fail to teach them, they're not going to get it, because God has given you a special assignment as a mother.
There are seasonal waypoints in every mother's life. How those are navigated will determine the destination of a mom's journey and its influence on her children. In this half hour, Ron Moore outlines those four seasons and the critical choices that mark their path. Before that, I'd like you to know about our free offer of Ron's audio CD titled Assurance. If you've ever struggled with doubts about your place in heaven, you'll find biblical comfort in this message. It's available at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it later in the broadcast. Now, here's Ron with the four seasons on the journey.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says this: there is a time for everything, a season of every activity under heaven. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. And so today, as we honor our mothers, I want us to consider the seasons of a woman's life. And I want us to focus on these four seasons. First, the season of singleness. The season then of marriage. The season of parenting. The season then of mentoring. And let's see what God's Word says specifically regarding these different seasons of life. Let's start with the season of singleness. This season, of course, is a time when many, many things are going on in life, and a lot of things are happening very quickly. But let's think about the focus in this season of singleness as a time of preparation, particularly for those who will get married and those to whom God will give children. A season of preparation. Think about it. You who are single, it's no secret that the decisions you make today will determine whether or not you live with blessing or regret tomorrow. Now, I know God is a forgiving God, and God is a God who restores us, and He transforms us. But let's just be honest. There are some decisions you make and actions you take that you cannot alter. And I believe that it is most important for those of you who are single to drive home, to nail down this particular aspect in your life as you prepare, this aspect of who you are in Jesus Christ. I believe when you determine and understand and nail down in your life your spiritual identity, that will carry in a healthy way through every other season of life. Because I believe that for far too many women, their season of life becomes their primary identity. And I think that's a big mistake. So let's think about these things that you need to be establishing. First of all, in your spiritual identity, you got to know that you are a creation of the Heavenly Father. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says this: the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. That word formed is the Hebrew word yatsar. It means that God formed you with a plan and a purpose. When it's used as a noun, it's translated potter. And so it's as if God is at His potter's wheel, making you just exactly the way He wants you, with the body that He wants you to have to carry His Spirit through this earth and to carry out His purposes during your time on earth. Psalm 139 says this: for You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You, first of all, are a creation of the living God. And secondly, you are a recreation, if you're a believer, in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this: for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I love that word workmanship. It's the Greek word poema. We get our English word poem from it. Think of it. You are God's sonnet. You are the poem. You are the masterpiece. You're the work of art of the living God. Now, I don't know what you think about yourself, and I don't know as you compare yourself to our culture and everything going on in our culture, but I want you to know this. You got to nail down your identity in Jesus Christ. You are a poem of the living God. You have been recreated in Jesus Christ. You are His masterpiece, and when He sees you, He sees something that is beautiful, created in Christ alone. You have been transformed. You have been forgiven. You've been renewed. The old is gone. The new has come. And the Heavenly Father through Christ loves you with an unconditional love. Number three, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Going to go through some challenging things in your life, some things that you can't do on your own. But when you are a child of God, recreated in Christ Jesus, when you've trusted in Him, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8. Verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. I just want you to know that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Singles, you need to nail that down. Who you are in Christ. Otherwise, your identity will be in the person you're dating. And we all know people who can't go 3 months without dating someone, because that's where their identity has to be. Or your identity will be in the career you've chosen. And if you do those things, you will always be disappointed. And then when you're married, your identity will be in your husband, and you'll be disappointed again. Scott Stanley, in his book, A Lasting Promise, writes these profound words. Listen to what he says. One of the most destructive and unreasonable expectations you can have is that your partner will meet all your unmet needs and heal all your wounds from life. Talk about a hope that will be disappointed. A mate cannot satisfy the deepest longing of your soul that only God can touch. The fact is, our partners make lousy substitutes for God. One of the wisest things that we can do is to recognize this and give up the unreasonable expectation. It puts a lot of pressure on your mate to expect him or her to do the things in your life that only God can do. That's good stuff. You need to know that your identity is in Jesus Christ alone. And when you do that, season of singleness will not only be a time of preparation, but it will be a time of purity. I said earlier that there are some mistakes you can make that you have a hard time altering and some baggage you carry with you. This is one of the areas, singles, whether you're single or you're single again, that you need to stay pure. You know the sad statistics about sex before marriage. And you also know the sad statistic that 50%, think about this, over 50% of those who get married today live together before marriage. The rate of divorce in cohabitating couples is 50% higher than couples who have not lived together before marriage. God's way always works. There's another statistic. After 10 years, only 15 out of 100 cohabitating couples are still together. Now, you tell me something works if it has an 85% failure rate. When you do it God's way and you depend on His Spirit and your identity is in Him, there is success in obedience. 1 Corinthians 6 says this, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. When you wait on God, as challenging as that may be, when you trust in Him, as the psalm says, Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Season of singleness is followed by the season of marriage. Marriage is God's idea. It's instituted by God. It's regulated by His commands. It's blessed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is to be held in high honor among all men and women. And the purpose of marriage is not to meet our needs. The purpose of marriage is to honor God. The purpose of marriage is to allow a couple to come together and do things together that they could never do alone. The institution of marriage is put forth in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It's repeated by Christ in the Gospels, by Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we see throughout Scripture, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Let's think through that. First, the man and the woman is to leave mom and dad. Now, at this point in a relationship, parents have been the most significant people in your life. They have influenced you. They have cared for you. But when you get married, you start a brand new relationship. And it cannot be tied emotionally to mom and dad. And you'll still love them and you'll still care for them, but you need to make sure that you make that break. I believe there are many marriages in trouble today because that break has not been made. And it has to be made. By the way, we always talk about this in premarital counseling. When you are married and you go through the inevitable challenges, because there will be challenges, never, ever go back to your parents and talk to them about your marriage issues, about your marriage problems. Never. They are not objective. They love you. And they'll tell you, you should have never married that bum in the first place. So go someplace else. You need to make a break with your mom and dad. Secondly, a man and woman are united together. I love that word united. It means to stick to something and not let go. It means to grasp something. Used three times in Scripture. It's used another time of skin clinging to the bones. It's used another time of a warrior who has fought so long and so hard, he can't let his weapon go. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You've gripped something for so long, you can't let it go. And that's the word in Scripture. Here is a marriage for better or worse, or richer for poorer, or sickness, health, whatever comes, this couple are going to stay together. United. Thirdly, it's a one flesh relationship. And that one flesh describes spiritual oneness, growing together in mutual love for Christ. It describes physical oneness and exclusive, intimate commitment. The writer of the Hebrews looks every man and woman square in the eye and says the marriage bed cannot be defiled. Emotional oneness, a commitment to exclusive feelings, and oneness of mission, going the same way at the same time for the same reasons. So wives, here are the questions. Are you growing as a believer? Your husband cannot make you grow as a believer. Your husband cannot make you be in the Word, be a worshiper. Be obedient. That's you. Is there exclusive physical commitment? That's just obviously critical. What about exclusive feelings for one another? Now, I got to stop here and say, while there are a lot of cool things about social networking, there are some serious dangers as well. And we're seeing more and more couples with problems because the husband or wife, most of the time the wife, will get on a social networking thing and all of a sudden here's Johnny from high school who befriends her and the mind goes back to things in high school and all of a sudden there is an emotional affair going on and you cannot have an emotional affair in a marriage. So be careful. If it means cutting out Facebook, then for goodness sake, cut out Facebook and save your marriage. It's a small price to pay. Are you on board with where you're headed as a couple? Mission. Now, again, it takes two in a marriage, partnership. But the question is, wives, are you a God-honoring woman? Season of singleness, season of marriage, and then season of parenting. Children are a tremendous gift from God, and we know they are a gift from God. Now, I know that some of you in the middle of 2 a.m. feedings and cleaning up messes and doing piles of laundry and running to the bus stop and spending afternoons dropping off and picking up from practice, fixing yet another meal, you sometimes may feel little appreciated. But remember, this is a great gift from God. I got this email a few years ago. I got to read this to you real quick. One day, a man came home to find total chaos. His 8-year-old, 6-year-old, and 4-year-old were outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud made from a running water hose. There were empty food boxes and wrappers all over the yard. And as he went into the house, he found even a bigger mess. Dishes on the counter, dog food spilled on the floor, broken glass under the table, a pile of sand by the back door. The family room was strewn with toys and various items of clothing. And a lamp had been knocked over and broken. He headed upstairs, stepping over toys to look for his wife, worried that she was ill or something terrible had happened. He found her in the bedroom, still in her pajamas, lounging on the bed and reading a book. She looked at him and smiled and said, "Hi, honey, how was your day?" He looked at her bewildered and asked, "What in the world happened here today?" She smiled again and said, "Sweetie, you know how you always come home from work and tell me how busy you were, and you tell me all the things you accomplished, and then you look at me and say, what did you do today?" "Well, today, I didn't do it." You never stop being a mother, do you? And when God wants to explain his character, when God wants to explain who he is, he does so in terms of a mother. When he wants to explain his compassion, he uses the word rakam, the Hebrew word, which means a mother's womb, the place of safety and protection and warmth and nourishment. When he wants to describe what the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, is like, strength under control, he uses a mother to do that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writes, "But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her children." And you well know that Scripture is so often passed down from you to your children, not just in words, but in the way you model it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, as Paul writes to this young man named Timothy, he said, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded lives in you also." It was passed down. 2 Timothy 3, Paul's still writing to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Man, mothers, you are an appointed teacher. And listen to this, what you teach your children will always stay with them, but what you neglect to teach them, they can learn from no one else. Say that one more time. What you teach your children, they will remember forever. What you fail to teach them, they can learn from no one else. Finally, the season of mentoring. We need women in our community of believers who come alongside younger women to befriend and teach and encourage. You don't always need a ministry. Just to come alongside a younger mom who may just need an afternoon to be by herself, to go shopping, to do something she needs to do without dragging 3 kids along or 4 kids along or 7 kids along. Someone who will come and watch the kids at night so a husband and wife can have that much needed date night. Going in the nursery and volunteering in the nursery for 1 hour a week, maybe 1 hour a month, just so a mother who has kids doesn't have to do her mandatory time in there. She can have an hour of worship free from her children. Man, we need those who are in that age of mentoring, that stage of mentoring, that season of mentoring, who are willing to come. And we don't need you if you are perfect, all right? If you've never did anything wrong, this is not a ministry you need to be in. In fact, I don't know of a ministry you should be in. But if you've made some mistakes along the way, and if you're willing to share those, your failure and your successes, then we need you in these ministries. By the way, this is not just my preference. Paul says in Titus chapter 2, "Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they should live, not be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and their children and be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God." So ladies, if you are in the season of mentoring, as many of you have done, we need some more of you to step up, not step back, to obey God's word and be involved in the lives of women who are going through some challenging times. We need people who have been there and done that to step up and be with those who are there doing it. Because as you know, it goes really, really fast. Psalm 39:4 says this, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days, and let me know how fleeting my life is." It goes very, very fast. So that 3-week-old, when you have that first baby, from the time they're born until they graduate from high school, you have 936 weeks in their life. And some of those weeks are tough, but it goes pretty fast. Then it's unbelievable, but they start first grade. And you put them on the bus or drop them off at school. When they're in the first grade to the time they graduate, you've got 624 weeks left. Then they're in the first grade, they're in the sixth grade, and then they start middle school. You don't like them much when they're in middle school. But they are your children. And when they start the seventh grade, you've got 312 weeks before they graduate. And then they hit high school. Man, ninth grade. When my kids hit high school, it's like a blur from there. And you got 208 weeks left. It goes fast, doesn't it? Then some of you have a high school student graduating and you got about 5 weeks left. It goes fast. Then you're standing like Lori and I, where you have a daughter who's married. I tried to talk her out of it. She did it anyway. Not really. A son who's going to graduate from college. A daughter who's a freshman in college. And then one starting ninth grade next year. And it goes fast. And what you teach your children, they can learn from no one else. What you failed to teach them, they're not going to get it. Because God has given you a special assignment as a mother.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next time together. When alone with your thoughts, do you suffer nagging doubts about your salvation? When you sin, do you worry that the Lord has abandoned you, counted you unworthy of His grace? Does that worry and doubt ever drift into outright fear of eternity? Well, you can find the joyful, confident scripture promises in Ron's audio CD titled Assurance. It's our free gift for a limited time. Here, Ron shares his own story of spiritual uncertainty and how that burden was lifted from his soul by the truth of God's Word. Those clearly explained truths will ignite in you a deeper love and passion for Christ and open the doors to spiritual freedom. Assurance on CD or as a digital download is yours free of charge at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, here's Ron with a look at our next broadcast.
The book of Romans. Today we're going to begin a journey through this book that lays out, like no other book, the foundational principles of the Christian faith. All 66 books of the Bible are useful for doctrine, for correction, for training in righteousness. All 66 books, but it's amazing how God has taken what seems to be the whole Bible, as Martin Luther said, and compressed it into this book of Romans. This is a book we need to get nailed down. Martin Luther said, you don't need to know this book by heart. You need to know it word for word. An early church father said this book was so important to him, he read it twice every week. These things have to be settled in your heart. These things have to be foundational to your life. That's why the journey through Romans is so critical to our lives. Before you die for something, you live for it. Are you willing to live for these foundational truths?
Won't you join us for that message next time? And please remember to order your copy of Ron Moore's comforting message, Assurance. It's available free of charge with a visit to ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today at ronmoore.org will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.